as I learned about my thoughts creating my feelings, and then my feelings or emotions are what caused me to do what I did. And that wasn't just with my dieting, with my food, it was also with everything I did. I began to develop more self-confidence, and I got a much better relationship around food. I had yo-yo dieted for years, but I learned to look at food more as fuel rather than as something to eat just because either it was habit or I felt bad or I was stressed or bored.
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world. This is episode number 22 for season 3 with Dr. Barbara Katz, How to Lose Weight in Menopause. Dr. Barbara Katz is a physician and a certified life and weight loss coach. She has successfully navigated an unexpected divorce in her 60s, and she now enjoys helping women learn the power of changing their thoughts to permanently lose weight, improve their relationships, and improve their lives. She practiced as a pediatric and adolescent medicine physician for over 40 years, and she currently practices part-time as a child abuse physician. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Thank you.
What does a woman of value mean to you?
I strongly believe that every woman is valuable, and I certainly try to show all the women that I work with that they are valuable just as they are.
Just as they are. And so most people don't believe that. How do you convince them that they are enough?
That's partly what I do as a life coach, of showing people that their thoughts are valuable, their person is valuable. They do not, even though I am also a weight loss coach, they do not have to lose weight to be valuable, to be more valuable, that their thoughts are their own. They don't have to, just because someone says something negative about them, they don't have to believe it's true. Even sometimes their thoughts about themselves, just because they've been thinking it for years, aren't necessarily true. So I teach them other ways to look at their thinking so that they eventually can believe that indeed they are enough, they are strong, they are valuable. And I try to show that to women, because so many of us have been socialized to think that other people know better than we do what's good for us.
Yeah, and people give up their power to other people all the time. They say, you know, I don't know, you tell me. And as a coach, we don't tell people. we help them figure it out for themselves, because they are wiser than they believe. And I think the whole weight loss culture, though, is such an important one, because it's so messed up. And people's beliefs about themselves are so tied into their body image. And I'm actually coaching a woman on my other podcast, Last First Date Radio, who is struggling with weight loss issues around dating. And it comes up a lot around, I'm not ready to date until I lose the weight and people won't accept me. And yeah, what would you tell someone who is struggling with weight loss and not wanting to put themselves out there in the dating world?
Well, it's not just dating. I mean, I know plenty of women who will not go to a beach, they won't put on a bathing suit, they won't wear shorts, and they're waiting till they lose weight. Pretty much that's part of what I do, of teaching women to love their bodies, even if they do have pounds to lose. So I help them to get a normal relationship with food, where food becomes their fuel, not just something to eat because they're feeling negative emotions like hurt or upset or boredom. But I want them to basically love their bodies, love the fact that they can walk, love the fact that they're strong, appreciate their minds, and learn to love themselves at any weight, and don't hold off doing things because of their weight. If a man says to you, I won't date you because you're too fat, whatever, many times actually they're overweight themselves, but that's just their thoughts. They're not the right person for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people do find love and have lives that are very meaningful and impactful at every weight. And you know, so much of it is mindset, like you said.
Yes.
Let's talk about your own pivotal moment in your life where you realized your value, your what we call the woman of value moment.
So it actually, I don't think it was a moment as much as a process. When I was divorced and I was 65, and it was a very unexpected divorce. And all of a sudden, after being married for 43 years, I'm single. And I had decided even before I had found coaching that I was not going to sit in depression. I was not going to stay just upset and angry at my ex-husband for a long time, that I was going to go forward with my life, at which point I had to figure out how to do that. And through actually a weight loss program for women physicians that my daughter had actually introduced me to through a podcast, I learned about coaching. And that was the first time that I actually really heard the fact that, you know, your thoughts are what create your feelings. Because before, you know, someone would say something to me and I would often take it as gospel. I would believe it. And this was the first time I actually learned that it really was important to pay attention to what I thought. And then I also had to look at my thoughts and say, are these true? You know, not everything that I thought was necessarily true just because I thought it. So there was a lot of unraveling there. There was a lot of learning. But as I learned about my thoughts creating my feelings, and then my feelings or emotions are what caused me to do what I did. And that wasn't just with my dieting, with my food, it was also with everything I did. I began to develop more self-confidence and I got a much better relationship around food. I had yo-yo dieted for years, but I learned to look at food more as fuel rather than as something to eat just because either it was habit or I felt bad or I was stressed or bored. And that's kind of what I did. After I went through that 6-month coaching program, I thought it might be interesting to do coach training. At that point, I wasn't thinking of necessarily becoming a coach. I just like learning and I decided to do it. And as I did the coach training, at some point I decided, you know, I really should share this information with other women. And that was when I decided that I wanted to be a weight loss coach for women over 50 or women who were menopausal. And show them that, yes, at any age, not only can you lose weight if that's something that you want to do, but you can also develop a normal relationship with food at any age.
Yeah, normal relationship. we'll go into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, 65 is an older age to be divorced. And these days we have gray divorce. Yeah. We have a lot of divorces that happen, certainly over 40. I was in my late 40s when the divorce process started, but I initiated it and you did not. And
right.
So these things can come as a surprise. I'm wondering if in retrospect and looking back, were you able to kind of connect the dots and see why this divorce happened and why it blindsided you?
Yes and no. I mean, I could certainly identify with some of the thoughts and feelings that I think my ex-husband had that led to the divorce. I also think that it might have been possible if we had both done some marriage counseling much earlier in the process, that it might have lasted, but it is what it is. And we are actually still friendly. And, you know, we have children together. And one of the things that I've also learned through coaching is sometimes things that seem very negative when they happen can actually lead to wonderful things. I would not have found coaching if I hadn't been divorced. I wouldn't have met all sorts of wonderful people if I had not been divorced. There's a lot of things I've done that I just would not have done without this divorce. So it actually led me to a really wonderful life. And even though I had a good life before that, I'm enjoying my life right now. So you never know that even some things that seem like they're bad initially sometimes become positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my divorce was the catalyst for me being authentic. I had totally faked so much of who I was. I suppressed so much of who I was in order to fit into the life that I had. And I didn't even realize the cost of it until I was pretty far in. I also wouldn't have become a coach, and I totally can relate to that story. And I, as you're talking, I'm thinking about my weight loss journey, which I was super skinny my whole life and gained like 7 pounds when I was 18. Thought I was obese because I was so unused to this weight and to actually putting on weight. I was always like underweight. And so it was like puffiness. And I also didn't get my period for a year. It was a lot of changes in my body at 18 when I went away for my gap year. And coming back, having gained weight, I actually gained a new perspective about my body. And my mother tried to force me into one of these weight loss programs, like it was called Diet Workshop. And I hated it. It was completely not working for me. It was embarrassing. It felt shaming. It felt punitive. And I said, you know, I've got to own this process myself. And I don't know how I had the wherewithal to do that at 18, 19 years old, but I started to get into health food. And in those days, it wasn't popular at all. But I got into it, and I had a good friend who was, her parents were juicing, and they have both lost like 30, 40 pounds. And so I took sugar out of my diet. I started eating whole grains and healthier foods. And I became conscious of exercise and food. And I think before that, I could sit down to a loaf of bread and eat the whole thing and not think about it. Right? It was like, oh, it's here. I'm going to put some butter on it and eat the whole thing. And I think it in this crazy way, and I think it's true for so many of us, that the sadness of weight gain and the frustration of it led me to become more conscious in my life, which I think eventually led me to where I am today in terms of as a coach, as a parent, as a woman.
If you have ever played small to make other people feel comfortable, or maybe stayed in a bad relationship or job too long because you didn't think you could do any better, I wrote a book for you. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value: How to Thrive in Life and Love. Each of the 30 chapters contains a life lesson, a story, and an exercise to bring you closer to reaching your full potential. Becoming a Woman of Value is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle.
I'm curious to know more about your program, and especially with menopause, because menopause notoriously is a time for people's metabolism to slow down, hormones shift. And so how do you work with women over 50 and help them to lose weight, to change their thoughts? And you talked a little bit about changing your thoughts and how they create your feelings. I'd love to hear more.
Okay. So first of all, right now I work with women just one-on-one coaching. So everyone has their own individual challenges. So that's one of the things that I do, is I work with their particular issues. I don't know why menopause may make it a little more difficult. In reality, there are many, many women who have been able to lose weight in menopause and keep it off. I think it's more, many of us are less active as we get older. I think also some of our eating habits are more ingrained. And in the United States, and probably in Europe and many other places, a lot of us have just gotten used to eating many processed foods, many junk type foods, snacking just because, not because we're hungry, but it becomes habit to snack while we're watching Netflix or after dinner or 10 a.m., you know, whatever. So that just frequently, by unraveling a lot of those habits, a lot of the eating for other reasons, you know, many of us emotionally eat, and, you know, teaching women how to process their emotions, how to experience their emotions, not be afraid to feel upset or grief or anger, not feel like they have to eat to try to suppress these emotions. Just doing those things, helping women to know when they're hungry, You know, we don't always pay attention to either those hunger signals or even knowing when we've eaten enough. You know, some of us will eat unconsciously when we're watching TV or movies or whatever, and we find we've eaten that whole loaf of bread or the bag of chips or whatever, and we don't even know we've done it. So just unraveling a lot of those habits, a lot of these sort of unconscious eating for many women is enough to get to the weight where their bodies are meant to be without doing any extraordinary exercising. I don't encourage things like counting calories or any kinds of looking at nutrition other than trying to encourage people to eat nutritiously most of the time. So, you know, the whole grains and the fruits and vegetables. I tend to be a pescatarian, but, you know, certainly protein in their diets. I don't say you can't eat fat. I mean, good fats are healthy and that's fine. And in fact, they keep us from being hungry. And just basically encouraging normal eating habits and showing them how to do that. And we'll tackle things like vacations and parties and dinner parties and going over someone's house where they're pushing food on them or alcohol on them and how to handle the specific challenges. So menopause can be a little bit different just because, like, many women in menopause do better if they do less sugar, less flour. But it's not true for everyone. And certainly if they're doing all those other things and they're not helping, we'll often try a way. I say no sugar, no flour. In reality, it's limited sugar and flour. So not eating it every day, but it's not like they can never eat sugar or flour. And many women find that putting that no sugar, no flour into their diet after they've done all those other things like eating for hunger and stopping it enough and not eating for other reasons can be the missing piece that helps them to actually lose that weight and keep it off.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's sort of this common sense approach to weight loss.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that because I just feel like so few people really pay attention to the common sense. It's like fad diets and pills and just take this gummy and you don't have to do anything. Oh my God. Those advertisements are like rampant now. And Oprah says, this is good. And she lost weight. Oh my God. So yeah, this is, I think there's also so much body dysmorphia. And I'm wondering if you have dealt with that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, partly as a pediatrician and adolescent medicine specialist, I dealt with eating disorders for many, many years. And I'm still used to people looking at themselves in the mirror and not seeing what other people see. And that's one of the things we'll work on if we need to, of just how do you see yourself, how to learn yourself, how to learn how to see yourself like others do, how to learn to appreciate yourself. Again, at any weight, just, you know, can you appreciate yourself for the person you are? You don't have to be really skinny to be worthwhile. But, you know, if we've been thinking that since we were 13 or so, that we had to be, I mean, certainly when I was a teenager, was twiggy, very thin. It takes a while to really integrate the fact that you can be a normal weight, a weight that feels good for your body. And that's partly what I'm trying to teach the women I work with, is find a weight that feels good to you, feels good to your body, and a weight that is doable in terms of the eating that you want to do with the kind of life that you have.
Yeah, I work a lot with an image consultant who helps people dress for the body they have, not the body they wish they had. And she says that nobody's going to judge you based on the size of your clothes. Like, they're not going to see, oh, she's wearing a size that's two sizes bigger than last year. It fits her. Like, it looks good. It could even be more, much more flattering than the size that you think you should fit into. And so when we can wrap our head around the fact that this is now, and that eating habits are just paying attention, you know, paying attention to whether you're full, whether you're hungry, whether you're eating out of emotional eating or boredom, or, you know, are you being sedentary? I mean, I'm certainly more sedentary than I was in my 20s. I was working out constantly and I had a different lifestyle. When we're sitting in front of computers, most of the time, my job is sitting, and I purposely get up. I start my day with a walk so that I start fueling my body with good food and exercise. And I feel like then I have a good chance at getting through the day and feeling really energized and good. And I think just those little habits, you know, getting up. One thing I've learned, and I love this hack, is I started making oatmeal in my rice cooker while I'm out for my walk. And when I come back, it's hot and ready, and I make enough for 2 days. So I put away one serving, I put fresh blueberries in there, and it's like, that'll fill me up, you know? And so somebody's making my breakfast while I'm out.
Well, actually, I have to tell you about my breakfast. I love steel cut oatmeal, and I actually make it once a week in my Instapot, put in blueberries and cinnamon, and then I put it in individual containers. And then in the morning, I just microwave each a container. I might put a couple walnuts on it. And that's my breakfast most mornings. And I love it.
Yeah, I love that, because steel cut oats take time. And most people just say it's too much time, or they boil over the pot and they're all over the stove. You don't want to watch it for 20 minutes. Do you have any other hacks that you can share with our audience?
I certainly do the same thing with my lunches. Again, I'm mostly vegetarian, and I like different kinds of bean salads. Sometimes I'll put some farro in it or some kind of other grain. Right now, this time of year, I put in, cherry tomatoes and some of the veggies. Again, I'll make several days worth, and I make my own vinaigrette that is a kind of oil and vinegar with some herbs in it. So I'll make several days worth, put it in individual containers, and then every day I just grab my lunch. I'll have usually a piece of fruit with it. And for myself, that's generally enough for lunch. So I do as much of my food planning ahead of time. I've been lucky enough that both my ex-husband and now my boyfriend cook dinner for me. So that's the greatest nice. Hack, have a cook.
I love that. Yeah, having somebody else do it for you is great. Mm-hmm. I love my air fryer also for doing like salmon and, quick sort of flash cooking certain foods that just taste delicious mm-hmm. and don't require a lot of time or putting your oven on, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the hack of prep. It's really prepping for anything. Creating new habits and prepping mm-hmm. is like, I said to a friend of mine this morning, I have an accountability partner that I check in with every week. And I said, my whole life runs like a crock pot. Like, it's like, fix it and forget it. I set up systems for things, and then I don't have to stress about it. And my life just runs much more smoothly, because life inevitably doesn't run 100% the way you would like it to. And things come up, and it's when you're ready, you're prepared, you have that one thing is less stressful than it has to be.
And the other thing I actually teach my clients is to come up with maybe however many lunches they want, however, maybe 10 or 20 dinners, kind of rotate them, but sort of know what they're going to eat, prep them ahead of time. So in the moment when they're less likely to make good decisions, because I do teach to decide ahead of time what you're going to eat as much as possible. And therefore, prep ahead of time, have those things ready. If you don't cook, know what you're going to pick up here in Pennsylvania, know what you're going to get at Wawa, or if you're going out to a restaurant, look at the menu ahead of time. And as many decisions as you can make ahead of time, you're more apt to make a good decision than if you do it when you're there and you're looking at what everyone else is eating or grabbing.
Yeah, you're not going to make your best decisions when you're stressed out or anxious or
tired,
unprepared or tired. Yes. I say the same thing as a dating coach. It's all about preparation. It's preparing so you're not a deer in the headlights with conversations, with what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to say. So Let's talk about the future. So right now you're working one-on-one with women. You work part-time as a physician. And what is the plan? What are you hoping for? What are you looking forward to?
Certainly, I am looking forward to seeing my grandchildren more. I have two grandchildren in Denver. I have one in Philadelphia. I am looking forward to eventually having a group coaching program, but now I'm doing one-on-one, and I may continue to do one-on-one as well. And then I don't know how long I'm going to be continuing doing the child abuse, but at the moment I'm enjoying it still. I mean, it's not always enjoyable, but I like being a physician. I like the challenge, and I do feel we do some good by keeping these kids safe. So I'll be doing that as long as I like doing it, you know, and then looking to maybe spend several months in a warmer climate during the winter. And that may happen at some point. And one of the nice things about coaching is that's something I can do anywhere, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. It's the best. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go into the lightning round. Fill in the blank. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
Self-confident.
What was the number one thing holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
I think just belief in myself.
What's the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Follow your truth. Follow your beliefs. Don't let someone else tell you what you need to think or believe.
Good advice. What advice would you give to your younger self?
You never know where life is going to take you, but embrace the challenges, and life is an adventure, and just enjoy the ride and don't be afraid to step up to the challenges that come.
Enjoy the ride. What is something that people often get wrong about you?
I think that they think that I actually am more self-confident than I am. I am definitely more self-confident than I used to be, but I think I project more of, I kind of know more than sometimes I do.
I think that's probably true of all of us. You know, it's always interesting to listen to podcasts with famous people. And there's so much self-doubt, even after they've achieved wealth and fame, mm-hmm. and people love them and think they're the most confident people. So I think it's actually good. It keeps you a little bit on edge. It keeps you being humble.
And makes me always want to improve myself, actually, yes. And learn more.
Yeah, which I think that growth mindset is so, so critical. And finally, Barbara, how would you like to be remembered?
Just as a woman in her 60s, and I'm 69 now, who was able to inspire other women to basically achieve their best life, no matter what their age. You're never too old to do more.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're never too old. Yeah. Barbara, where can people find you?
The best place is my website, and that is Dr. Barbara L. Katz Coaching. mykajabi.com. Great. I also have a Facebook page called Lose Weight in Menopause.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your own personal journey and your wonderful perspective on life, on weight loss, on pivoting after having a crisis that could have ended in a very different direction. And you really used that challenge to create a new life for yourself. And mm-hmm. I love it. And you're helping other women, which is really the key. So thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks everybody for listening. And if you love our show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It means the world to us. And we hope you have a really great day.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others, because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.